fun on Sunday night, 40 days of letting your net down. We're gonna continue on Halloween with that. Am I on? Can you hear me? No? Maybe? Maybe not?
It's not on.
It's not on. Is something not done wrong? Thank you, gentlemen, for passing this out.
If you need to put me on the pulpit mic, that's fine. We'll turn this one off. So inside your hands there, we're going to look and go through it here in a minute or two, so don't start looking too much just yet. I want to give us something to put something in our hands to help us go through these next 40 days. If you want to be a part of it, great. If you don't, then you can have something to take home and at least look at and consider. If you look on a piece of paper at the beginning, it says 40 days of letting down your nets. We talked about that Sunday night. We explained that Sunday night. And it's going to be a 40-day journey. I'm encouraging it starting tonight. I encourage you to take it with me. God spoke in my heart about to do something and lead the church in something that hopefully will spark a spiritual awakening in some senses to draw us closer to God. And not only as individuals, but also as a church family. We have some big days that are coming up, our Easter program, and a spring revival, and it's a great time to be focusing and putting our attention on God. So inside of this, if you want to turn to the first page, you're going to have a prayer list that's there, and that's what we're going to do tonight during the service time. We're going to go through these prayer requests. We're going to look at some some of the verses that go along with it. And then if you notice on the next page, you have something that's called day two. You say, why is it day two? Where's day one? Well, this is day one. So this is the beginning of it. Day two gives you a short devotion. And at the bottom, you'll see that there is some scripture reading for the day. Also, you see there's a phrase that says, my response to God's word. So as you're reading the devotion and as you're reading the scripture, there's an aim for a response there. And don't go looking at day three, day four, day five. That's for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So don't even worry about that until tomorrow. My response to God's word, how much time did you spend with your prayer list? And I know it's not about time, but we're asking you to make a commitment to be praying for these things for 15 minutes a day. And as a church family, if we can get 30 or 40 people praying 15 minutes a day for the next 40 days, I believe that could help our church and help us individually. There's also going to be a prayer promise verse every day. And you see that tomorrow is talked about drawing nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Then I think always when you have prayer, times of prayer, there should be times of reminding us that God is able. That's where the prayer promise comes from. There also should be a time of rejoicing. And so there's three reasons to rejoice in the Lord today. Now, there's supposed to be different things every day. And so you say, well, I can't think of three different things every day. Then you're not very thankful. There's lots of different things to be thankful for. And then there's going to be a little challenge at the bottom of every day. Once again, this is just to help us and to help you and give you a guide. Help us to kind of walk through this journey together as a church, to give you some encouragement. Do I think everybody's going to do it? I would like to think everybody's going to do it, but I doubt everybody will do it. Are you wrong with God if you don't do it? I'm not even going to go as far as saying that, but I do challenge you to spend the next 40 days, whether through this or through other ways, to drawing closer to God, spending time in the scriptures more, spending more time in prayer, and just asking and seeing what God can do. So there is, like I said, each day, there's only up to day five. You say, why is only up to day five? It's because on Sunday, there's going to be more for you. And then on Wednesday, there's going to be more. You're going to take them home. You're going to have to put them inside the piece of paper, the thing yourself. You say, why don't you have all 40 at one time? Well, I know what some of you are going to do is going to go home and read them all tonight and just think that you don't have to do it again. That's not the point. And some of you will, plus I don't have them all ready yet. So that's another good reason. But let's go back to the prayer list, and we're going to look at this idea.
I think it's going to work tonight.
We're going to look at these different prayer lists for the 40 days of letting down your nets. Helps if you turn it on first. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe Maybe nothing's working in the back tonight. Let's see here. You let me know if it moves, okay? Nope. Okay. Mr. Cartwright, I have it on. The red lights are showing on the side here. Is it supposed to be at the mouse or the TV? A screen, excuse me. Great. Hey, there it goes. This is just Mr. Greger had to touch it. So. There it goes. Wonderful. I can take this earpiece off. Even better. So tonight, we've done this before, not often, but probably I've been a pastor, I don't know, how many years now? 8 or 9 years, I think, and been the pastor here. We've done prayer lists before. We've done it for our country. We've done it times of just trying to get a spiritual awakening, getting things going in our hearts and minds. This list is a little bit different than any of the other lists that we've ever done, and I think it'll be an encouragement and help to you. It's trying to get to the heart of the matter of how many times what we deal with as believers and why we don't pray and things that really we need to be seeking God's behalf and asking some tough questions. And as we go through these things, it does say, as you see on the first thing, is pray that God's people. Now, some people will read that and say, okay, that means we're praying for everybody else. It's supposed to be looking at yourself first. It's supposed to be something that you look at, you see, you understand. If this is an issue, this is something I'm desiring for myself. As we talked about before in the model prayer, when it says, thy will be done, you can't be praying, thy will be done, you know, in the world if it's not done first in your life. So when we look at these different things, this is supposed to be applicable to you first, and we're also praying for our church family. And you say, don't all Christians all over the world need? They do. That's that we put God's people at the same time. When we look at this, I want us to focus, and we're asking God to do something in our special in our church. So a couple of my favorite phrases when it comes to scriptures and prayer, and you'll see these different things. Some of these things you've seen before, some are new. Genesis 4:26 is the first reference that we have about people calling upon the name of the Lord. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. I know that they commune with God and they talk to God, but for some reason at this point in time, after Abel had been killed and after the birth of this son, it says men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And that's what we're doing. We're calling upon the name of the Lord when we pray. Sometimes it becomes so formal. Sometimes it becomes that we're repeating things. We're actually calling upon God for something. So when we're praying and we're looking at these for the next 40 days, I want us to look at it as in the relationship that we have God the Father, and that we are calling out to God and asking God to do something special. It's not just to check it off the list. That's one thing that worries me when we write down, well, how much time did you spend? Because I want you to try to keep track in the idea, hey, I fell a little short here today, or I saw progress. I want to pray longer and things like that. Some phrases, you know, revival will not happen unless God's people pray. And this is one of the key elements. You know, the other things that we talked about, prayer on Sunday night, we talked about purity on Sunday night, we talked about personal evangelism on Sunday night, we also talked about priorities on Sunday night. I asked the teenagers, because I gave the teenagers the same thing in the back, see if any of them could remember the P's. They got 3 of the 4, which was pretty good. It's kind of scary to ask you guys because I didn't want you guys to do worse. So those 4 P's there. So revival will not happen unless God's people praise. D.L. Moody says, every revival can be traced to a kneeling figure. Every mercy, every blessing, every restoration begins with calling upon the Lord. So this is important. If we truly want to see God work, we truly want to see God move, we got to call on God. We got to pray. There is no way around it. The way you measure a ministry is by those who call upon the Lord. Here's some more phrases. We get upset about no prayer in school. We get upset about no prayer in the home. And as we get upset about no prayer in the schools, but what about the no prayer in our home, no prayer in the church house? And I know that's kind of pointed, and it's pointed on purpose, not trying to be ugly. And in these sheets, we're not trying to be ugly, just trying to cause us to have an awakening in a sense that, hey, maybe I need to pray more. And revival begins when men get sick of themselves and call upon God. The church was born in a prayer meeting. I like this one. A dead church where God touches no one and no one touches God. And that you say, why do you like that? Because that talks about a lot of churches today. That means we need to pray. A revived heart is a praying heart. The people who call on God are those who crave the presence of God. And then we finish with that one because that leads us right into our first point. And this is the reason why we're going to have Saturday night prayer meetings at 6 p.m. Like I said, whoever wants to come can come. If it's just me, that's okay with me. But that's what the Lord's kind of leading and guiding. I'm not saying that this is going to change everything that happens at Faith Baptist Church. I'm just hoping it changes everything that happens in my life and makes me closer to God, and praying that God will do something in our midst and in our hearts. So let's look at these different things when it comes to our prayer list for the next 40 days. First thing I want you to see is pray that God's people, including me first, would have a greater desire to know Him and fellowship with Him. And I think it's amazing when you look at that. It's amazing that when you look at the Bible, that some of these people have these desires. The first devotion of Mar talked about, sometimes when you read certain verses, you feel like you're missing something. And when I read this verse, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Man, it feels like I'm missing something. Does my heart really pant after God? Do I long for God that way? What is it that I'm missing here? And this is what I'm saying is, when we begin this, it begins with a desire to know God better. It begins with a desire to have a fellowship with Him and to walk with Him and to know Him and have a desire. In Philippians 3:10, it talked about how Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. That, you know, the guy that probably knew more fellowship of God just as much as anybody else in all the world, he says, look, my goal in this life is to know God better. And there's a desire. And when I read things like that, that stirs my heart. And you see Moses in Exodus 35:15, he says, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He had a relationship with God so much, he says, look, God, if you're not coming with me, I'm not going. If your presence isn't with me, I'm just not going to, it's just not worth it. And he says, God, and he was saying, I need your presence. I need you, Lord. And I need to have that fellowship, and I need to know you. I need that relationship with you, and I need to be in a continual relationship with you. I need to hunger for you. I need to thirst for you, because if I don't, he says, it's not even worth making the journey. And I want to encourage you here as we look at this, and this is our first one. If we can get the first one down, that we want a desire to know Him better, and we want to fellowship with Him. And I think some of you know what I'm talking about. Is when you spend time with God, and you see Him moving, you see Him talking, you don't want to ever leave. You don't want to leave that spot. You want to have that continual fellowship. And sometimes the world messes it up. Sometimes somebody else comes in and messes it up. And sometimes it's just like, I got to go. But when we get to this spot that we truly desire to want to know Him more than anything else, and as it talks about in Matthew 5:6, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we're going to be filled. Proverbs 8:17 talks about how if we seek Him early, guess what? We're going to find Him. You say, Pastor, that all sounds emotional. That all sounds like it's a myth. No, He says if we'll seek Him early, we can find Him. You say, well, I don't get that. That's why we need to pray for that. That's why we need to ask God and say, God, you know, for this next 40 days, I really want to know you better, and I want to fellowship with you. And Lord, I've been away from you some, and I want that to come back, and I need to figure out how to get back there. And I see what David writes about his heart panting after you. I see what Moses is saying. He's not going to keep on going until he knows you. And I see what Paul says, and I see what the other people say in the Bible, and all the other, they had a relationship with you that I just don't have those depths of that relationship. But God, I want to know you better. I want to understand you better. And you get that from the Word of God. You get that from learning and growth. If you can just have that spark and you get into the presence of God, then God can take care of the rest. But you have to be willing to say, this is a priority to me. I want to know God better. And that's not going to come by just reading, you know, day two and reading day three and reading day four. That'd be fooling ourselves. This is just a guide to help us start. But if we're truly going to learn to know Him and want to fellowship with Him and cry out to Him, it's going to come from us saying, hey, this is something I desire. Next thing, pray that God's people would have a spirit of humility and brokenness. So this it kind of goes together. It's transcending. Okay, I do want to know him better. I want to have a better understanding. I want to grow closer to him. When I see people talk about hearing from God, and when I hear people talking about how the scriptures speak to their heart, I want that more. How does it get there? Is that we can't be prideful. We have to be humble. Not only do we have to be humble, there's a spot that talks about being broken in the Bible. And it says, James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth to the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. There's also a spot in the Bible that says that when we draw nigh unto him, guess what? He's going to draw nigh unto you. So if number one is important to us, then we're going to say, hey, look, I want to draw nigh unto God because he's promised me I'm going to draw nigh unto you. And that's actually supposed to be the verse there. I think I put it wrong up there, that we need to draw nigh unto God. That is how it's going to happen, is when we say, Lord, okay, here I go. I'm going to take this step toward you. God's going to come right to you. And then you also see in Psalm 51:7, it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. God, thou will not despise. You say, what does that mean? That's what we need to figure out. Because God's not going to despise it. What does it mean that, hey, if I draw nigh unto him, that he's going to draw nigh unto me? Where is that coming? That comes from spending time with him. That comes with doing more and saying, I want to get to know him. And this is what the prayer is that not only for our church, not only for the pastor, but for me. I want to have a spirit of humility. Too many people have pride. And that pride stops them from being broken. And you're going to see that as, I think that's day number 5 or day number 4 in there. It talks about spirit, talks about pride versus brokenness. Next thing I want you to see, and this is important, I know you know this was going to be on the list, it's because we need to have a heart that's right with God. We need to be clean from sin. And we even mark some very, very normal church sins that people do not deal with because it's not seen. At least they don't think people see it. Especially sins of unforgiveness, worry, bitterness, and apathy. Once again, this is a challenge for us. Lord, do I have an unforgiving spirit? Someone, show that to me. And it's one of the things in Psalms 139, it talks about us asking God to seek, you know, search us. You know, do I have an unforgiving heart? And do I do the sin of worry? Do I have bitterness? And am I really apathetic when it comes to your work? And so when we're looking at this and we're asking God, okay, God, every day for 40 days, I'm going to ask this question, God, can you help make sure that my heart's right with you? Now, I don't think many of us really need examples. I know I don't. I know what's wrong with me many times, and I need to get that right. And when I get that right, I think I'm fine, and God shows me something else. And then God shows me something else, and God shows me something else. But these are some of the ones, because it's not something that's done outwardly most of the time, it's something that people need to understand and get. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I tell you, that verse is something that we need to remind ourselves of. It's something we need to quote. And when we have a confrontation with sin and says, am I going to be right with God, or am I going to hold on to that sin? You say, well, God's not going to hear me if I hold on to that sin. So I need God to hear my prayers. I need God to answer my prayers. So because of that, I'm going to make that sin, it's just not that valuable. It's not worth it. And as I mentioned on Sunday night, and I've said before, there is no sin worth not being able to get to God. There is no sin worth not being able to have God's ear. There's no sin worth not being able to fellowship with God. And there's no sin worth not being able to understand him and know him better. I know the sin might seem like it's justified. The sin might seem like it's fun. The sin might seem like it's something that is controlling, but that sin separates you from God, and that sin separates God from hearing you. It's our iniquities that have separated from us. And in this passage of scripture, we got to remember that. But the wonderful promise is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful prayer. What a wonderful praise. What a wonderful promise. He says he will cleanse us. So as we look at these things for 40 days, let's continue on this list. Pray that God's people will be spirit filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, what does that mean? It means the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, directs us, controls us. We give him rule and reign on our life. Well, where does that come from? It comes from having a heart that's clean. It comes from a heart that is humble and broken and saying, God, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'm willing to do. It's a desire to know him better, and he will lead you and guide you. But if, I don't know about you, if somebody asks you your advice and they don't take it over and over, sooner or later, you want to stop giving it to them. You know, I gave you directions, but you didn't listen to me. It's sort of like the Holy Spirit of God directs us and leads us, and many times we grieve him. But instead of grieving him, let's desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. These are all principles found right in the Bible, found right in the Word of God. These are things that he says. And remember that verse, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. It's God's word here. Galatians 5, 22 through 23, you say, well, how do I know if I'm Spirit-filled? Well, look at some of the things. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such is no, there is no law. You say, well, I get one of those. I got two of those. I'm doing pretty good. If we are Spirit-filled, he's saying he can produce that in your life. The Spirit of God lives inside of us. So those things are inside of us that we just push them down so many times. I can't be joyful, you say. You can. He says that is a fruit. You can have peace. You can do. Well, how do you get there? It's wanting to know him better. It's understand, making sure that we're broken and humble, making sure that we have a heart that is right. And we keep on going to the next thing. Pray that God's people will have a hunger for the Word of God and a readiness to obey it. This is important that we get this and understand that it's about God's Word. But not only is it about God's Word, it's about obeying it. Psalmist David says, oh, how I love thy law. It is meditation, is my meditation all the day. That's not me all the time. You know, and hereby do we know that it says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You know, that's where we should desire to want to be. 1 John 2:3 says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought him also to walk even as he walked. We should be walking in the commandments of God. It's about God's word. And as we look at these things, you say, well, how can I know if I'm Spirit-filled? How can I know? Well, let's compare it with Scripture. The next one is, I know something that some people just don't want to take off their list, is pray that God's people will have a passion for lost souls and to give the gospel out. Now, I'm not saying that means you're going to be here every Saturday morning at 10. I know that some people can't. And some people rather do other ways besides just canvassing when it comes to door knocking. But I am saying that we should have a passion for people who are lost and that we should be willing to give the gospel out. So I don't see why more people aren't getting saved. When's the last time you gave a clear presentation of the gospel to somebody? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen unless you give it out. I know Paul and Silas, they were singing in the prison cells at midnight, and you know they came, and the guy said, what must I do to be saved? Well, he had to know he was lost somehow. Paul and Silas must have said something. I don't know if they're singing or preaching, whatever it was, but the gospel has to be given out. And I love Paul's passion here in Romans 9, verses 1 through 3. He says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. See, I'm afraid that doesn't describe, I think we're the other way. It doesn't bother me that people are lost. He's saying he has continual sorrow in his heart. And he even says, for I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. That's a passion. And I think it's that we need to ask God that we would have a passion. Maybe we'll never get there. Paul went through a lot to get there. Paul, I'm sure, lived with the guilt of putting many of his brethren to death. And Paul lived with the guilt of, you know, teaching those false ways for all those years. Maybe we'll never get to there, but we have to get to the point where we care about lost souls. Somehow, some way, it's got to become part of what we want to be if we truly want an awakening when it comes to our spiritual lives. The next one, I think, is important. And it's, like I said, many of these are new for this list. But pray for unity and love amongst our church family. A church family that is divided is a church family that is weak. Does that mean we have to like everybody? No. Mr. Sawyer always tells me, I like everybody in our church. And I says, I don't even like everybody in our church. And I'm joking. So I says, I don't like myself sometimes. And he says, nope, I like every single person I know at the church. And I think that's sweet and that's kind. That just doesn't happen for most of us. But we can be unified for a common cause and for a common purpose. And the Bible says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another. Just because I might not like somebody, I can love them. There's two different things there. There's a liking and there's a love. And God tells us that we have to love people. Not all the time are people very likable. And I'm not saying that you have a right to act bad, but sometimes people are not. The Bible says, if you can, live peaceably with all people. Sometimes some people make it almost impossible to live peaceably with. But you can still have a love for them and a desire for them. And you know what? We can have unity in our church and we can have love amongst our church family if we will learn to see a greater cause. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, sometimes people, if I don't get my way, I'm not going to do it. And that's sad. We need to be unified. We need to have a love for one another. And these are a prayer list. These are goals for us. This is what we're looking for. This is what we're reaching for. And say, Pastor, if I got to do all these things, I might as well not pray. You missed the whole point. What prayer is, it's us saying, we can't. God, we need your help. It's us saying, Lord, I don't have this desire like I want to. God, flame that fire. It's us saying, God, I know that I don't have a hunger for your word. Let me get in your word and let me let down my net so that way I can see you working in my heart. Because if I don't let down my net and try, you know what's going to happen? Nothing. You know what's going to happen when it comes to lost people? If I don't give out the gospel or don't give out a gospel tract, if I don't let down that net, what's going to happen? Nothing. What's going to happen when I still remain bitter and I still remain unforgiving and I still remain apathetic? If I don't let down those nets and get my heart right and clean, what's going to happen? The same thing. And that's what Peter's like, look, we toiled all night. We've worked really hard and nothing came out of it. Nothing's going to keep on coming out of it until we make a change. We can't continue on doing the same thing and same thing and expect a different response. And then obviously there's some practical things on here. Our Easter program, we put that down there towards the end. I know usually our prayer lists were more for specific things. Those are more for God working on our hearts. And as God works on our hearts, the other things will take care of themselves. Pray for decisions to be made. Amen. And just not salvation decisions. Pray that God calls people to his service. Pray that God helps somebody's heart gets right, somebody's family to get right. For visitors to come, I think we need to pray for that. Pray for those participating in the service. We put, we talk about the choir, we talk about the actors, we talk about the sound, and we put et cetera, because there's a lot of people that make things happen when it comes to it. There's greeters, and there's ushers, and there's nursery workers, and there's me as the preacher. We need to pray for those people. Pray that their heart is right. Pray that they're clean from sin. Pray that God will just kind of move in their life and take over. Spring revival. Pray for the evangelist and his wife that are traveling here. It's Morris Kleiser. Same thing, decisions to be made, visitors to come. God to speak to people's hearts, especially mine. And I've wrote that down not just so you can think of me, but it's for you, especially for us, you know, for individuals. Then the next two things is individuals you like to see saved. Well, I guess I should have been clicking it a little bit more. Sorry. Individuals you'd like to see get saved in the next 40 days. Make a list. Find somebody. Share your list with other people. If you want to share your list with me, I'd be glad to make it more than just one person praying for this individual. I know that there's some people who say, can you pray for so-and-so? You know, in the next 40 days, I'm going to invite this person to the Easter program. I'm going to invite this person to the spring revival. And it doesn't have to be just about those two services. You know, how many more services we're going to have in those 40 days besides those? We're going to have one every Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night. God can work and move in any of those. So, individuals, you like to see get right with God in the next 40 days. You say, I'm not a judge. You're not. If they're not coming to church, you can pray for them. Just so you know, if they're not showing up at church and you know that they're living in a wicked lifestyle and they see it and they show it, put their name down and pray for them. Share your list with somebody. I'm not talking about as a gossip. I'm talking about you find somebody you can say, hey, I want to bind together and pray for these people for the next 40 days with you. And I encourage you to make this part of your list on Saturday nights. We might include and talk about those lists and have people read off. And so that way we can be praying for the people that we need to pray for, that they get saved and that they get their hearts right with God, that they come back to a good Bible preaching, Bible teaching church. So this is our prayer list. I spent a good part of today working on that, and I pray that it is a help and a blessing to you. I pray that you use it. I plan on using it every day. I want to encourage you, like I said, it doesn't have to be this way for you. You know what's wrong with you. You know what you need to help with. Maybe you don't need these things. Maybe your own list. But spend 15 days praying for yourself and praying for your church to draw closer to God. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your assistant pastor. Pray for, if you have a Sunday school teacher, pray for your Sunday school teacher. If you don't have a Sunday school teacher, get one and come to church on Sunday school. You know, pray that God will work and move. And there's a long list there. I know we have families that we could be praying for. You have individual family members that you can be praying for. You have missionaries you can be praying for. But for 40 days, let's try to draw close to God. So since today is day one, what we're going to do now at the end of our prayer night, we're going to actually have our prayer time now instead of having our prayer time as we did in the middle. If you'd like to leave, you're welcome to, but please do not be in disruption. But we're going to pray a little bit longer tonight, and then I'm going to close this in prayer by going over these things. So if you'd like to find somebody to pray with, or you like to pray individually, you can. If you like to be discussing these things and share prayer requests with people, but we're going to take about 10 minutes of a prayer time here now, and then I'm going to close this in prayer in about 10 minutes. So like I said, if you feel like you don't want to be a part of it, you need to step out. That's why we put it at the end. Didn't want to make anybody feel like they needed to stay. But I think we can always do good by praying. And we'll be done in about 15 minutes from here, which will still put us out at the regular time.